This is the Radical Geek signing off. But coming up next is Nutty Bites, with your geek queen, Nutty Nuchas, and her upside down and flying co-host, Tech. So sit back, enjoy, and don't touch that dial on your podcatcher.
Hello, Mixed Nutcases. This is Nuchas, and I have a festive episode for you today. Today, we are going to be talking about geek gift giving. It is the holiday season, but these little tips and tricks can work all throughout the year, and it's a lot of fun. We've done this a couple of times before, but this year we have a new guest with us. We have
Jason.
And Jason
from the Talk Nerdy Podcast.
And Jason works in retail. So he's dealing with all of the customers who want to come in and get geeky gifts because that's what he sells. But we also have my regular cohort.
Hi. I'm censored and on my best behavior, not just because Nutty's been threatening me and Jason, but because Geeky Santa may be listening to this podcast. So
yes, you want to be nice, not naughty.
Right,
naughty.
I want to be on the good list.
Oh, naughty podcasters don't get cool gifts.
Instead of coal in your stocking or whatever, so does Geeky Santa put like a weeping angel in your stocking or something?
Oh, you got to check out. There's a great video that Disaster Piece Theater put out a couple of years ago about the Weeping Angel. And it's like Elf on the Shelf, but the Weeping Angel. Yeah, it's Don't Blink. It's hysterical.
It'd be great as a Christmas tree topper, too.
I've seen it as a Christmas tree topper. Ever. Yeah. But I think for the podcaster, instead of coal, you get broken links. So people can't download your shows. And that's not good. So, you know. So first I want to talk a little bit about, gift giving traditions. So, you know, there's lots of different reasons that people are giving gifts this time of year. People that celebrate Christmas, people that celebrate Hanukkah.
And all the other ones.
And all the other things. And also just because it's fun, you know, you don't have to be religious to get involved in festivities. People just have fun with it and enjoy it.
Plus, there's office pools and secret Santas.
Exactly. And that was one of the things I wanted to talk about. For me, I love gift exchanges. That's all my family does. We put our names into a hat, pull it out, and we just buy one present for someone and get one present. And
well, there are like 86 of you, so it does help.
Okay. We're not quite there yet, but we're pretty high. Yeah. Let's see. There's
30 at least.
Well, she is from New York. You know,
16
the cousins,
plus, yeah, it's in the high 30s, almost 40.
Yeah, we're not even counting the cousins. This is just, you know,
yeah, this
Irish
is just,
Catholics.
This is
doing
just
what,
the kids, their spouses, and their children.
This
yeah.
is what Irish Catholics do when they meet other Irish Catholics.
It happens. So anyway, I love gift exchanges, but I realized that there are some gift exchanges I do not enjoy, and that's when I don't like the people. Have you ever been? It's true. Have you ever been in an office Secret Santa and you're like, I got to buy for that person? Really? Yeah, what do they even like?
We got an office Christmas party. We're doing like a breakfast thing mm-hmm. on the 15th. So next Friday. And we got one of the bosses sent out an email that she was starting up a gift exchange. And if you want it in, you know, buy a gift to get a gift and send her your name. I don't like anyone enough at work to...
You like a few, but yeah.
No.
It's... I've had a couple of them where it's like, oh, thank goodness I got the person that I actually like spending time with. But most of the time, work gift exchanges stink because I don't like them.
I'm really glad you brought up work exchanges first, right?
Yeah.
So... They did a Secret Santa at work.
Nobody at Jason's work listened to this.
So I've been officially dubbed the Grinch.
Oh.
Because they were like, hey, you want to be in the Secret Santa? It's all the regulars plus the new hire seasonals. And I'm like, wait, what? Like, huh? Like, you put the seasonals in there? They're like, yeah, why wouldn't we?
Because you don't know them. They're seasonal.
It's like, they're not going to be here after a certain time. Who cares? Like, I'm not getting them something. I'm not spending money on a seasonal. They might infer that they can stay later. No.
See,
mind you, secretly,
I know my contract ends January 8th, but I got these Dalek salt and pepper shakers from the manager, so that means I can get an extra 4 months.
Yeah, yeah, totally. As a seasonal employee, I have been a seasonal employee in the past. No, don't include me in your Secret Santa. I don't want to have to buy a gift for somebody who's going to have a job when I don't. No. No, that's just all bad. So I'm with you there, Jason. No. But I do like other gift exchanges. For instance, through the Flash Mob, there's the Flash Mob Carmus gift exchange.
Carmicmas?
Yeah, well, it's Car apostrophe Mass, so it's in honor of Carwreck, their spider god, and everybody does a little bit of a gift exchange. And that is always a blast. Last year, I got somebody I didn't know because they're not on Facebook and I had no idea who they were. So I had to do some super secret sleuthing and discovered that they were really interested in Quidditch and sent them a Quidditch set. But
stalked them?
I kind of cyber stalked somebody who isn't on Facebook, so probably wouldn't appreciate it, but I hope he appreciated his Quidditch set.
The problem with work exchanges.
I would say this.
No, I'm cutting cool Jason off.
I know. I got cool crap from Carmus every year. Like, I got an awesome functioning little like crossbow thing, and then last year though, I got a freaking forged of D6s. These things are made of cast iron, baby. Ooh, talk about putting some weight in your dice bag.
Yeah, no, Carmus is a lot of fun, and often it's because everybody knows each other. So that's a blast. But also, this year and last year, I was involved in, we have a little Secret Santa thing going along with all the people that do dog days. And that was a lot of fun because you really get to know them in August because they share their lives with you. And then you can have fun with that. But Tech, you had a rant about work gift exchanges.
The problem with... No, not really a rant. I just want to... We're different people at work, every single one of us. The way we hang out with our family, our friends, our different social circles, we are all different people. And who we are at work is generally not entirely who we really are. So my problem with gift work exchanges is that a lot of these people don't really know me. And they know that I practice martial arts and that I'm a bit of a geek and that, you know, I like math and pens and, automatic watches and things like that. So what I'm going to end up getting is kitsch.
Yep.
Kitsch that I don't need. And I was just thinking, the only time that I would be in a work gift exchange, and I think the only time it would really work, is say I had just moved to a new town and I had like an empty house or an empty apartment and I just needed crap on my shelves. And I could really use another set of Dalek salt and pepper shakers or an Enterprise pizza cutter or, a hilarious apron or something to help fill the shelves in my apartment. Then yeah, because that's the type of stuff you get because, it's Tech, that weird guy in the IT department. I don't know anything about him other than he likes martial arts. I guess I'll get him, a set of hand wraps and a hilarious apron.
So you didn't like the... You didn't like the 40-pound bag of ramen they paid $10 for?
Actually, I think I'd love that. That is one of the downfalls of a gift exchange, especially, it's usually set at like $20 and under. What kind of a lasting gift can you get that isn't kitsch? And in order to do that, you have to really know the person. My advice there are consumables or... something that you know that will do more than just sit on a wall or in a box for the rest of the year. So consumables. If somebody really likes coffee, get them fancy coffee. If they like beer, get them a beer sampler. If they like, anything like that.
If you know that they're really involved in a cause, like they run lots of charity races, a good thing is get them something to use, like pay an admission to one of their races, make a donation to one of their causes. And this will bring up my first piece of geek advice. You want to get me something for Christmas, go to Humble Bundle.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't know what that is, so the Humble Bundles, it's a website where they have comic books and digital books and video games that are all available for download, and you choose the price that you want to pay. And every month or every week, it changes what games are offered, what comic books are offered. And right now they're doing a, they got a thing called Yogscast going on. So they've got a, it's like a Christmas Advent calendar where you, if you donate $5, a minimum of $5, you can get all the games that they've unlocked so far. If you donate a minimum of $35, you can get all of the games as they unlock them.
Yeah.
And there's some, you know, some $40, $50, $60 games here that are available for whatever you want to pay.
Yep.
And you make it, make a donation, and all of those things, they come with Steam codes, they come with everything, and you can either buy them for yourself or you can donate, you can gift them to other people. So you get a bundle of like a dozen comic books or a dozen ebooks. You can then part that for a couple of dollars, you can then part that out to a whole bunch of other people if there's things that you know are better suited to one audience or another. I saw one that they had a it was a whole bunch of graphic novels that they were selling, that they were the only end of, for a minimum donation of $10, you could get about a dozen graphic novel ebooks, including Sunstone's volume 3 through 5, which would probably not be gifted to anyone. I think I would jealously keep those.
I, you know, man, I think you're reading my mind, Tech, because I was actually just on Humble Bundle like a couple days ago, and or not a couple days ago, it was a little bit ago, but and they had a bundle of 5th edition D&D books.
Yes, their like, RPG bundle. There's a bunch of modules and a couple extra source books. None of the main core books.
Yeah, that was a little disappointing to me. If the core books were there in a Humble Bundle, we would have bought it yesterday.
Yeah, we would have bought the whole thing. But a lot of really great things for DMs and anybody
extra,
looking
extra
to
adventures
expand.
And modules and all kinds of really good stuff if you've got a D&D player out there.
Well, and one of the books is really cool. It's all about dragons and adding dragons into your games. And ways that you can add a dragon to your game and not party wipe your players. So if you want to give your players what everybody playing Dungeons and Dragons wants to do,
just Rory.
Deal with dragons. Exactly. It's a whole book just helping you do that. A lot of really cool things. Oh, and there's this cat and mouse role play game that is based on 5th Ed in there too. I thought it was Mouse Guard at first, but it's not. It's cool.
Dude, a few months back, I actually, one of my coworkers, who's actually done some work for me, she's designed some logos for me and stuff, told me about a Sakura bundle on Humble Bundle. And I was like, what? So I went and checked it out. And, you know, it was a bundle of Japanese JRPG / date sim / RPG games, like dungeon crawlers.
Cool.
It was like $10. I got like darn near 20 games. It was great.
Humble Bundle. Sorry, go ahead.
Oh, and you know, just feeding my otaku fetish. And I know you invited me on because I'm now in retail. Mind you, I've kind of sort of been in retail since I got out of the army. Like I've worked at Walmart.
There's that.
But mind you, it's like directly retail. It's fine. And you know, it's fine. And you know, I know why you didn't invite me, Nettie. It's fine. It's fine.
It's because I don't love you.
But you know, you would actually be really surprised, and I'm really glad you guys did bring up Humble Bundle, because there are people who use Steam. I have people come in and buy $100, $150, $200 in Steam credit, and they have no idea what Humble Bundle is.
Oh, man.
Like, no clue. Like, they look at me like I'm speaking another language. I'm like, hey, bro, you could take $10 of that and get, like, 30 games, because, like, Humble Bundle's like amazing.
And there's other versions too. It's not just Humble Bundle. There's also the heists. Way back when I started podcasting, I did the Mac heist, and I ended up, I think it was for $50 or $40, I ended up getting all of these different pieces of software for my Mac. But the one that I got it for was Wiretap, which still hasn't been updated for the new versions. Thank you very much. Anyway, Wiretap, which up until 2 years ago, I used for every single thing for my podcast. And at the time, it was like a $160 program, $180 program that I got for $80. And then I got all these extra things like World of Goo and organizers and, you know, extra things. But it's really neat. There's the heists, there's Humble Bundle. All of this money goes to charity, and you can choose which charities. So if they say...
That is a big perk.
Yeah, if they say that this particular Humble Bundle is for the water project, but you want to put it towards mental health, you can decide that.
And they've got it, so you can now set up exactly how much. Like, you can say, I want... You know, I want $4 to go to the developers. I want, you know, $3 to go to the distributors or whatever. And I want the rest to go to the charity. Like, you can actually sparse it out based on how much you've donated and paid. Like, which, think of a more just concise way for people to spend their money. Like,
yeah.
Because if you want to do something that is not only at, you know, especially, and I'm not even talking about holiday time at this point, really. If any point in time you want to do something to try to help and make just this planet and people and life better, and you're a gamer, what better way to do it, right? Like, you can literally
Lots of ways too.
And this is something that I've been talking about for a long time, especially around the holidays, is that, you know, we all look at, you know, like Bill Gates and the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation that gives, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars to help, you know, children around the world, and, you know, these rich philanthropists that go around dropping, you know, big daddy war bucks to make a difference. You don't have to be rich to do good. You don't have to spend any money to do a good thing. You know, you buy a 6-pack of socks, take 2 of those pair and give them to the homeless guy across the street. I'm pretty sure he could use a couple pairs of socks.
Yep.
You know, you get that, you got that coffee coupon card that after 8 cups, you get a cup for free. Why not give that free cup to the guy panhandling outside? Mm-hmm. You know, you don't have to do, you don't have to spend money to do a nice thing, or you don't have to spend a lot of money.
Yeah.
And that's the beauty of the Humble Bundle. I mean, it's a couple bucks. You get a bunch of video games out of the deal. I mean, how cool is that? You can give the video games away as gifts if you don't necessarily want to play them, and keep the ones you want. And then the money goes to a charity that you believe in, because you get to pick the charity.
Yep.
Yeah. I mean, and I don't want to get super political here, but the NFL just literally had a giant shenanigans charity and helping and making a difference, where they donated like $89 million to charities to help, you know, protect people from, you know, police brutality and minority, you know, and stuff like this, because of the protests going on in the NFL. They made a simple, easy choice into a giant, long drawn out process. Super easy. You literally just say, you know what? Out of my $15, I want to donate 7 of it to such and such charity.
Yep.
Because I want to make a difference in that area. And boom, you're done.
Yeah.
People talk about how gamers don't do this and don't do that. Well, Humble Bundle is geared towards gamers, you know.
And don't forget about other things like the Extra Life charity or
Child's Play
or all the different ones out there. There's so many gamer-centric charities. So, Tech, tell us about Child's Play.
Child's Play is a wonderful charity that takes money and buys board games, video games, televisions, etc. for kids that are in long-term care in hospitals. Because while you're on dialysis or you're fighting cancer, you need something to help occupy the time and keep your mind not on the fact that, you know, you're on dialysis and hooked up to a machine full of tubes. And if a Game Boy loaded with the latest Mario game can just take the pain away for a couple of minutes, then let's do that. And the charity, the tagline for the charity is "By gamers, for gamers."
Yeah.
And the fact that we as adult gamers know the power of games, there's a reason we still play video games, and we know that they've had a positive effect on all of our lives, regardless of what my mom thinks or used to think. And the fact that, you know, I know the power of a good video game, and if I can give a kid or a group of kids a board game to play in the room at their hospital, or if I can give a kid a TV cart that he can roll around, and, you know, they get a couple minutes of Xbox, let's go ahead and give them that, so that they're not they have something else to think about.
Yep, and then you got Extra Life that People game, do marathon gaming to raise money. Tech and I were part of Christiana's tabletop.
See, that was awesome.
That was really cool. And then, let's look at International Tabletop Day, because most of those events, people use them to raise money for various charities.
On that note, I have to mention as well, it's not quite Christmas, yep, but in January, it'll be time for Awesome Games Done Quick.
That was the next thing I was going to say, yeah.
AGDQ and then Summer Games Done Quick, SGDQ, are conventions. They're week-long conventions held. I think Awesome Games Done Quick is in Minnesota, and Summer Games is in the D.C. area. And they're week-long conventions of speedrunners. And these are all Twitch casters. These are Twitch and YouTube casters. They're very well-known. Some of the best video game players in the world. And they break world records. And what they do is they do 24 hours a day for 7-day telethon of these guys and girls cracking out amazingly fast runs. If you think Super Mario, the original Super Mario Brothers, is a great game, watch a guy beat it in 5 minutes. You think the original Mega Man was hard? Well, watch them race through the first original six and do it in under 3 hours. These guys are insane. And all the money goes to Prevent Cancer Foundation or Médecins Sans Frontières, Doctors Without Borders. And they have incentives and goals.
Yeah.
So if they raise a certain amount of money for certain things, different things happen.
And it becomes interactive. If give a certain amount, you can get your name read out on the air. Now, this is awesome. And I love how we started talking about about gift giving, and we just jump right into charitable giving. And I think that goes to the point that we're saying that geeks and gamers are all about charity. I mean,
we're all about community.
We are. We're all about community because I think so many of us grew up not having a community, that once we found one, we want to do more and we want to be part of it.
The geek shall inherit the earth.
Yeah.
Or we were considered, antisocial or not a part of our community or our groups. And
how many times did we hear the thing, well, why don't you go outside and play real football instead of playing a video game that plays football?
Because real football's not fun for me. I don't look like
because when I go out there, when I go out there, I lose. When I'm in here, the Cleveland Browns can win the championship. Go Cleveland!
There you go. Exactly.
And one of the things that I've seen since Nutty, dimed me out, that I work in retail.
I didn't say where.
Directly retail now. I say it all the time, actually.
He's mentioned it on previous episodes.
Okay, but I didn't say it.
I work for GameStop. It's fine.
It's okay if he uses the word. Yes. That's what he calls himself. We just can't say the word.
Yes, he can say that he's a GameStop employee. We can't.
Yeah, you just did it. Yeah. But no, like,
hi, Shane.
A lot of parents. Is Shane in now?
Shane stopped in during his coffee break. He is street pastoring tonight, and it is snowing there. So, and they expect it to continue to snow for the next 18 hours.
I love that it's snowing in the southern United States and England, but it's not snowing in northern Ontario. No. This is fantastic.
it's actually really funny.
No, one of the things I've noticed, though, with parents is that parents, even now, in 2017, we have a president in the United States who uses Twitter more than he does public address. We have people, sports figures, who do basically press conferences through their phone via Twitter or Instagram or whatever. But these parents are utterly flummoxed by the concept of their child being a gamer. Like they are just lost in the sauce, man. Like they're like, when he plays his game, it's this thing. It's you shoot him up thing. And I'm like, there's a lot of games that
even Mario has some shooting.
And it's really interesting that they are that even now coming to the grips of the fact that there is not even a subset anymore. There is a culture of people who are gamers. Like that's what they do. And it's not just
multiple gamer cultures.
Yeah. And it's not just that they live a life separate from ours. They live the exact same life, except it's focused around gaming, right? Like, there are gamers who, like you said, they do Twitch streams and they do Instagram posts about the achievements they've made in certain games, or they'll, you know, cosplay from their favorite game. And these things are just like other people who don't game, you know, when they're, you know, cosplaying their favorite movie character, blah, 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 and going on and on. Or they'll make their, you know, Twitter post about whatever achievement they've accomplished in their daily life or whatever. But for us, or for gamers, their daily life is the game.
Yeah.
And that's no longer this taboo sort of thing.
No.
And it just boggles my mind that there are parents out there who haven't, or who don't.
My kids won't play video games. I won't let them. Good luck.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or parents who have decided that.
That's the same as my kid won't play baseball. I won't let them. So if you think that there's a problem with one of those statements but not the other, yeah, there's a problem.
Yeah. This goes back to that big argument I had with one of my bosses when he when I mentioned that to me there is no difference between me wearing this Bizarro Superman t-shirt as there is with me, let's say, wearing a Cleveland Browns t-shirt.
Which, by the way, just looks like a Superman t-shirt, right, to right, us.
Because it's reversed.
But it's reversed
the
on the stream. It's okay.
Okay. But, you know, of course, now Jason and, you know, all the hairs on the back of his neck bristled because, of course, there's something wrong with wearing a Cleveland Browns t-shirt. Rah, sports ball. But if a geek is nothing more than a person who is unashamed about their passions, and if I am willing to stand up here and say that I like the Quebec Nordiques and the Cleveland Browns, then hey, what is wrong with that? You know, some people like Sega Genesis better than Super Nintendo, and those people are just wrong.
So getting back to the gift-giving, though, and I think that this is going to come into play every time we've done this episode, we have said that the most important thing, and this is no, whether the person you're buying for is a geek or not, know the person. Find out, what does this person like? Because if you can't figure out what they like, you're not going to be able to find them something good. And you might as well just give them a gift card to something, you know, big and open like Amazon and say, yeah, I got no clue about you. And I know that I have no idea what's going on with you. But
I had that conversation with my mom this year. Even my mom said, well, I really don't know what to get you this year. I think this is the year you get cash.
Wow. Jeez, mom. Well, by the way, my mom sent me a text this morning saying that she totally scored when it came to you.
Hurrah!
And, I was like, Mom, you always score when you buy presents for tech.
Merry Christmas, like, to me.
Yeah, she does so much better for you than me sometimes.
So,
thanks, Mom.
One of the speaking of geek culture, yeah, and you know, the geeking inheriting the earth, one of the things that not just video games, but we, the geeks and geek media, because we are now the ones with the money, we have taken over a lot of other media.
We have.
And
yeah,
there is a lot of good TV out there.
Yes.
And because we are a more, and the people behind us are a more tech-savvy generation, a lot of these new TV shows and things are not just coming over cable. They're coming over different distribution systems.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're looking for a gift for your geeky friend, have you thought, and they say they're into the Defenders, and they're ripping all the episodes, maybe a Netflix subscription so they can watch the new Defenders shows.
Yeah.
Maybe Amazon Prime for somebody so that they can get all their stuff from Amazon with free shipping and at the same time.
Hmm? Crunchyroll, stop ripping the internet.
Crunchyroll. Yes, Crunchyroll.
Exactly. Yeah. Anime fans, hey, why, well, you can get I keep seeing things all over the place for a 30-day free trial for Crunchyroll, and then why not throw somebody a couple of bucks in there and let them watch all of the anime on the planet commercial-free.
Yeah, Crunchyroll is a fantastic streaming service. Netflix, if they haven't bought it yet, give them a couple of months. And then they can see if they like it. I think they sell like 3 months and 6 month packages. And it's a really great way to get somebody started on it. And the cool thing is,
especially because the new Star Wars movies are on Netflix and the new Star Trek shows are out there.
Yeah.
So, you know, this is the year that we finally get new Star Trek. And we even get the new better Star Trek called the Orville. And
is Discovery good? Because I've not heard good things.
We've watched three episodes.
We watched three episodes of the Orville, two episodes of the new Star Trek. We are very behind, but not because we don't want to, just we're very busy.
So Discovery
how did I put it this morning? I was just talking to somebody about this, that it, I made a mistake. I gave myself high expectations and it's not meeting it yet, but it's slow out the gate. It had a really weird sort of a beginning to the story. I'll see where they go with it. It looked the first two episodes felt like they really went for the look and the style of the new movies.
Yeah. And the first two episodes are essentially a movie.
Right. It's really good. It's a really, really good sci-fi movie. It just, like the new movies to me, it doesn't quite feel like Star Trek.
But we haven't gone past into the full series. Although, by the way, I did hear that there's going to be a Mirror Universe episode. And if that's the case, maybe we can get Michelle Yao doing some crazy fighting and stuff that we did miss.
But if you grew up watching Next Generation, watch The Orville, because it's Seth MacFarlane does Next Gen, and it's really, really, really good.
Exactly. I was reminded of this by Megapodtastic's episode this week. I can't remember the name, the classic Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer TV special is featured.
Oh, yeah, Rankin Bass.
Rankin and Bass. I'm like, Crass? No, I couldn't figure out the name. The Rankin and Bass, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, features in one of the episodes of the Orville.
That's awesome.
Yeah, and it's pretty great. But Netflix is a great subscription thing. If they're in the United States, I suppose Hulu's a good one. Amazon Prime, but Crunchyroll. If they are into anime, there is no other place you want to go but Crunchyroll. And my only question about Netflix is when Disney finally decides to pull everything off of Netflix and do their own streaming service, I don't know how well that's going to work, but we'll see.
Did I hear that 20th Century Fox is now owned by Disney?
They are finalizing the deal. They're working on it.
So this means, ladies and gentlemen, that the Alien franchise is now owned by Disney, which means any of the chest bursters that were born of the Queen are now Disney princesses.
Yes, yes.
Xenomorphs are Disney princesses.
I need to make that art, right?
Ripley a Disney princess?
No, she's not a princess, but xenomorphs are.
The thing that grew out of her chest at the end of Alien 3 definitely is.
Because it came from a queen.
Technically, Queen, it was birthed from Ripley, so that means Ripley's a queen, not a princess. She's a queen.
We've known this.
So going in theme with that, okay, so you know that somebody's really into a TV series. For instance, if they happen to be a teen or anyone else with eyes, they might be completely obsessed with Riverdale right now or some other TV show. I don't know.
They have eyes.
Still haven't watched it.
That's not okay. You don't watch a lot of good shows.
I also Game of Thrones. I know.
Anyway, so you can go and you can buy Riverdale T-shirts and Jughead's S thing. You can get off Etsy. You can get a knit version, the same hat that Jughead wears. You can get kitty ears for like Josie and the Pussycats.
That is a commonplace love for all three of us. You can actually go to Hot Topic and get all four members of Team Juniper as little pop figures, which I'm going to do because I love Pyrrha. No matter what you say, or what you've done in your show, I'm looking at you, Rooster Teeth. Yeah.
We were at the Hot Topic just the other day, and they had, who did they have? They had Nora and...
It was the Nora figure that we saw that was really cool.
But I was like, where's Yang? Where's Ruby? Where's the rest of them?
Those are at GameStop.
Oh, okay. So pop figures is another thing. No matter what you're into, there's a pop figure for it. They're doing hockey players now.
Yeah, if somebody likes a TV show or likes anything that's been in the media in the last 20 years, there's now a Funko pop figure for it, but just a little... A little plastic figurine, stands about 4 inches tall. It's got an oversized head, like this one here.
Adorable.
This is a little hush dude. They got him for everything. They're not all as creepy looking as this guy is. He's designed to be creepy. I don't know, 10, 15 bucks? They sit on the shelf. They take up space. They immediately identify you as a geek to everybody else, so they're great for the office.
I got another little collectible thing, and it's a collectible thing that people put out on their work next to their work computers and things like that, that are completely, everyone's like, oh yeah, that's cool. Even if you don't like the thing because it's very artistic. But we actually picked something up the other day, and Tech convinced me that I should get it and I deserve to get it. Mm-hmm. And it was the Women of NASA Lego set.
That's dope. That is, I didn't know they made that, and that is dope. Yeah,
so there's a Lego thing on the website. Like, there's a tool on the Lego website that allows you to build your own set and then post it to the website for other people to comment and rate. So if you make a build of, you know, a car, a truck, whatever, and then put it out there, and it gets 10,000 likes, Lego will build it as a real set available in stores.
Yeah.
Oh my God, it's amazing.
Another cheap.
Amazing.
Exactly. So one of the ones that they had there, it's a collection of these little dioramas of the women of NASA, Sally Ride and all the other ones who I can't remember.
Anyway,
they're all there. All the little minifigs are there, and then there's like a little space shuttle on the SRBs, and then there's the little science maquette. Anyway, it's all there. It's all cool. Another, I was just thinking about this when we were at the Lego store the other day.
Why did you tell me we had to buy it?
I told you had to buy it because you have been squawking and shrieking at me since it came out how awesome it was that they had made a Lego set of the Women of NASA, and then you're at the store holding it in your paws and you go, well, I don't really need it. I don't really want it.
I'm like, what am I going to do with it? Just stick it in my office? I don't know.
But the idea of supporting it with our wallet is a little bit more important than adding more crap to the house, because this was something really important that they did, and it's a really cool set, and I'm going to talk with my wallet, and I'm going to buy it because it's cool and it's worth it. Another great idea for a cheap gift for somebody's kid or that office coworker that's got too much Lego. Every Lego store I've been in has got a bin of random parts that allows you to assemble a little Lego minifigure out of all of the parts that are there for $3. So we had a student at the school that I work. He was learning to be a welder, and he wasn't doing very well. And the staff, the teachers sort of got together, and they really helped the kid out. And they got him the extra practice that he needed, and the kid passed. And he was just so grateful to the staff for the extra work that they put into helping him realize his dream of becoming a welder that he went to the Lego minifig store, and he made little welder minifigs wearing the jackets and the masks and the little acetylene bottles. And then he gave each of his teachers this little Lego welder minifig, and a lot of them still have it on their desks. It's pretty cool.
So if you make a minifig of the person you're giving a gift to,
absolutely,
that's an awesome gift.
There's more than enough parts that'll do it, and it's $3. You might as well.
And that counts as handmade. Mm-hmm. Yes, it does, which is some of the best stuff that you can give. If you've done something to make it. Jason, you were about to say something.
Well, yeah, it's, I know this sounds like very cliche, right? Like when, grandma makes you her famous whatever, right? But home cooked food can be a gift.
Yeah.
Because there was a gentleman through work. He was an older guy come in, and he didn't have cable, didn't have internet. So he bought a lot of DVDs and stuff. And a lot of the times when you buy DVDs from Walmart, they have digital films attached. So you get the physical and the digital. He gave her all his digitals because he didn't need them. He didn't have the internet. And one of the only things he said he missed, because he lived alone, he had his dog or whatever, was that he meal.
Mm-hmm.
And so, we ended up doing it and stuff like that. But it's those type of things, that effort, that concentration and focus, that attempt at something with an earnestness behind it, that can sometimes overpower, just outweigh a physical gift. Because when you cook something or you make it or it's something you craft with your own hands, it not only represents what you know they like or what they want, but it also represents how you feel about them, and also how much you care, because you're putting the physical effort, the physical time into giving them a gift.
All of my favorite gifts haven't had price tags attached.
Yeah.
And that's the thing, because you don't have to question if something was sincerely given if it's handmade.
Scarves, socks, the little plaque that said Nuke Joss on it, a painting that's over there, all of these different things people have made for me. And I treasure them so much. I have this little tiny plaque, by the way, that was given to me about 15 years ago. And it says Nuke Joss on it. It's all green and sparkly. Thank you so much, NO Diva. Love it. And those things are very sentimental.
One of my favorite gifts that has been on my wish list for a long time that I've enjoyed immensely is I want to spend time with you.
Yeah.
If, you know, my family in the United States, I don't get to spend a lot of time with. So if we can find a way to hang out together, and one of the things that I ask for is take me to a museum or an art gallery. I love museums. Yeah. I'm always willing to learn something. And there was that trip with your brother and his wife to the Met, which basically ended up the four of us touring an art gallery trying to find the inadvertent porn.
There was a little bit of that.
It was really funny.
Well, because once the idea is put in your head, you can't help but see it. And yeah, and this is, you know, as somebody who studied art as part of my university degree, yeah, it's there.
You ended up being a tour guide at one point. Like we go into this one wing, they had a Van Gogh exhibit.
Oh yeah,
and
I had a couple of things I could have said. Oh, Nanny, I'm being so good.
Continue your story, Tech.
Yeah, and though there was these two women that were looking at a painting, and they were having a conversation, asking each other a question, and just sort of letting it hang in the air that they didn't know something, and then, well, actually, you can see by the color purple in this corner here and how it transcends to orange over here that Van Gogh was high as hell when he painted this.
I don't think that's exactly what I said.
And over here, you can see that he had an inner ear imbalance because he'd lost it due to the opium, and he was like listing ever so slightly to starboard as he was painting, which is why the house melts a bit. And I'm totally making all of this up. It's not what she said at all, but I don't know art, but it... You got to turn into a tour guide for a couple of minutes.
It was one of those things where they were talking and they were standing right next to me, and it was, they kind of left the question there, and I'm trying so hard not to respond to them because it's like, I don't want them thinking that I've been listening into their conversation, but they're standing right next to me and I'm like, I know the answer. Don't say anything. Don't say anything. And then finally I'm just like, okay, so this is what's going on here.
This is because of the third stage of syphilis. You know, this explains this painting right here.
Whoa.
Van Gogh didn't have syphilis.
Here's a quick. here's a question, right?
Yes.
Here's a question. When gift giving, how do you take into consideration who the person is? And I don't mean like, you know, what they like, what they're into, but I mean, are they family? Are they an acquaintance? Are they your best friend? Are they your husband? Are they your wife, your girlfriend, your boyfriend? How does that go into the process? Because all of those types, all of those positions in life make the gift different and change the meaning of the gift. And gift meaning is also something that needs to be thought of, right? Like, how can a gift be perceived, I think?
I struggle with this because I'm one of those people that I have a hard time, you know, it's like, oh, but it's supposed to mean something. Yeah, but he would really like this cool thing. And so you know, especially like, oh, you're giving each other a present for, say, an anniversary, right? And it's, well, it's supposed to be romantic. Okay, but a camera can be romantic, right?
it gosh darn better be, because it's all you're getting.
Are we gonna edit that? Like, I think you just edited yourself.
No. Anyway, our Christmas present to each other this year, by the way, it was a refrigerator. So that's kind of boring to some people, but I don't know. We really wanted a refrigerator, right?
You really wanted a refrigerator. I'm still waiting for my Christmas present.
Right. Okay, then. You'll still have something to unwrap on Christmas.
Yay. Better not be ice cube trays for the new refrigerator.
It's
What if they're dark? What if they're Death Star ice cube trays?
I already have two AK-47 magazine ice cube trays that make 7.62 by 39 ice cubes. Yes.
I'm set for ice cube trays.
We also have a lot of the big ball ones, which are almost like Death Stars without the fancy etchings. We're pretty set on those. I was going to say, I already gave you those.
But my answer to the question is I don't take that into consideration at all. To me, the person I'm giving the gift to, if I'm giving you a gift, it's not your relation that changes the gift. It's the, you know, it's... I don't know. It's hard to put into words. It's I'm not worried about that. It's the relationship becomes secondary, and I don't care if you're the grandma that I only see once a year or if you're my wife. I have a chance to make a connection with you through a little gift, a little token of my appreciation and my affection, and I'm gonna do it. Whether it's my boss, a coworker, my wife. I mean, I'm not going to go out and buy a $600 camera for the guy at work.
No.
I mean, sure. And, you know, you're talking about the we're talking about, you know, making things and gifts with no price tag. And this is something that we've talked about, Jason, before, you know, cooking and, you know, Nutty with your baking. You're not going to put Jason. I'll ask you this question. If you decided that you were going to do your famous pork butt for somebody for a Christmas gift, would you put less effort into it for family than you would for a coworker?
No, because, you know, my meat is
amazing. We love your succulent, like, juicy meat, Jason. We do.
Exactly. I have to uphold the legacy of my meat so that it is warranted to be in the mouths of many, 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 many individuals.
Nutty. Would you put less effort into a, you know, marzipan sculpted birthday cake for the neighbor kid than you would for one of your nieces and nephews?
I think the only thing is, would I give the same gift, kind of a thing? So I'm going to somebody's house for a birthday and I decide to make cupcakes. I'm going to put the same effort as I would any other cupcakes. All my cupcakes come out awesome, delicious, whatever. I might go a little more intense for a family member. For instance, a particular niece had a sweet 16 and I made her a whole tiered cake and it was absolutely gorgeous. I'm not going to do that for the neighbor kid, but the neighbor kid's going to get the same delicious food.
Yeah. And I'm thinking to myself, you know, I'm going to make a rack of ribs for somebody as part of, you know, the birthday party festivities. And you know what? I really don't like this office coworker, but he invited me to his party. He asked me to make some ribs. I'm undercooking the rack. I hope he gets salmonella.
No, you won't.
That tin of beans that I'm serving with it, I've dented and I'm leaving on the roof of the shed until I'm serving it because I hope he gets botulism.
Yeah, okay, no.
No.
Inside joke on that one, Tech. But no, by the way, Nutty, I've never had one of your cakes, by the way. I feel unloved.
Unloved. You're kind of far. I'll have to make you some cupcakes.
You also haven't had any of my ribs, which I'm surprised you didn't mention first.
Have we had and you've not brought a dessert?
I've brought dessert. Good. Actually, why have you not had any lemon cakes? I brought lemon cakes many times to Balticon. I also brought Italian three-color cookies.
It's because of his diabetes.
Yeah, it could be that.
He would have some lemon cakes, but then I'd have to cut off his foot.
Wolf Brimley is my spirit animal.
So anyway, you have had them. They were delicious.
It causes me to be angry and short with my wife.
All right, enough of that. So, I don't think the relationship changes too much, although there are definitely things. For instance, you know, somebody might look and say, so your husband gave you comic books for Christmas. That's not so romantic. Well, yes, it is, because he selected comic books he knew I would love. He got me Batman stuff that is right in my niche. He got me Faith comics. He got me Mouse Guard. I mean, he knew exactly what it is that I wanted to read and what I have already read. And that's the romantic part. So it goes down to knowing the person you're buying for.
You know, and... You know what? I don't want to toot my own horn here, but, and it wasn't a Christmas gift, but it was a gift nonetheless. Last year on the podcast, I got Jen a birthday gift because Jen is my best friend and I've known Jen for a very long time. And I secretly snuck around, very not sneakily because I'm 6'3" and black and it's kind of hard to be sneaky. But I got a bunch of audio recordings from like friends that we've known. But the icing on that cake for the present was that I actually called and Skyped her two nephews.
Yeah, that was cute.
And got to wish her a happy birthday.
That's cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
Birthday with an F.
Yeah, and what's really funny is I disguised it as a regular episode. I'm like, yeah, hey, we're going to record this episode for the podcast, blah, 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 blah. And we get upstairs and we're going through the motions and doing everything. And then I'm like, hey, I want you to hear this. We're going to talk about it on the podcast. And I play the audio file I've created from, you know, there was you guys, Jared D, Skinner family, everybody. And then the last three audio files that I compiled were her mom and her two nephews. And we had to pause the podcast because Jen cried. And I'm not trying to do my own horn here, but it's when you do those things, when you do such an acute gift, right? Those are the things that makes them understand that you've been paying attention, right? Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of gift giving is about paying attention.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. If you pay attention,
exactly.
You'll
know what they like.
Go far. I mean,
which I think goes back to the problem I had with office pools, that we don't pay a lot of attention to the random coworker who works over in, you know, accounts payable. So how am I supposed to buy them a meaningful gift or, you know, a gift they're even going to like if I haven't paid attention to them? I mean, I know Jason likes football, but if I got him a Cleveland Browns hat, he'd kill me.
Because I'm a Dallas Cowboys fan, who are?
He said he would break your leg. I will say that the horrible gift, the work gift exchange that I was involved in the last year, it actually was kind of cool because I was reading the Song of Ice and Fire books and the person who had me, he was watching where I was and he bought me the next book. And that was cool because he paid attention.
But also, isn't that kind of creepy though? He's like, what is she reading over there? I want to know.
It wasn't creepy. Well, one, I liked him. He was actually one of the few people that I really did like. But also, everybody commented on me reading during lunch. Like most people, it was, why do you just read all through lunch? Like, that's weird. It's like, I have an hour.
Note to all three of us. We need to talk about how people still look at those of us who read as some sort of unique, like rare commodity.
Yeah.
Like
I can't tell you how many times I've had people say, you like must read a lot, define a lot. I don't know.
When I sprained my ankle and we're waiting for x-rays with there was a family ahead of us in line and the young teen girl had sprained her ankle. She was waiting for x-rays as well. And we're just talking to fill the void while they're warming up the x-ray machine. And we're talking about ankles and legs and medical things and operations that we've had. And then the girl kind of looks at us and, are you a doctor? No, not at all. Well, how do you know all of that? Because I pay attention and I read books and I listen when my doctor's talking.
Yeah. But there have been a couple of times where it's just like, why do you read like every day? Are you in a course? No. So like, why are you reading? Because I like
it. Again, gotta have a podcast about that. Because like, I didn't think it was a thing. I didn't think people thought nerds reading a book was because they were in school or because they had some sort of specialized training.
There has to be a specific reason as to why you're reading that Wikipedia page about the moons of Saturn. Why is that? Because the moons of Saturn are cool. Look, this one looks like the Death Star.
Yeah.
One day I'll meet Neil deGrasse Tyson. We can have a conversation.
I'm going to talk
have a conversation with Pamela Gay. I mean, yeah.
Honestly, if I'm meeting Neil deGrasse Tyson, I'm talking to him about wrestling. And if I can find a mat, I'm throwing down.
I've met Pamela Gay, and she's an amazing lady.
If I'm having a conversation with Pamela Gay, it's about wrestling. And if there's a mat, we're throwing down. I'm coming for you, Dr. Gay. Balticon next year. Tables, ladders, chairs. It's coming.
God, can Dave Robinson be the guest referee?
Oh, please.
Well, that really went off the rails.
You gotta wear your luchador mask again. You can be my manager who hands me the chair.
But apparently, they're just coming up with a really great gift for me here.
Oh, man. So,
NASA scientists found bludgeoned with metal chair at Baltimore, Maryland hotel. Film at 11.
Not NASA. The Interplanetary Research Society. Something. 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 I don't know. Cosmo Quest.
I think she would plan this out ahead of time, and you would walk into some sort of mousetrap-esque, like,
Rube Goldberg machine.
Like, for some reason, yes, that song Powerhouse from all the Looney Tunes cartoons is playing. Dun, 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 dun,
and then her dog's like, tackle you at the end. Yeah, it'd be great.
The Hubble telescope falls out of orbit and lands on my car.
I'm coming, you set off my trap.
Okay, so to wrap things up in this horribly off-topic episode, which was a lot of fun to record. If you need ideas and you want to go find ideas and you've got a geek in your life that you want to shop for, where would you go?
Three words that can sum up this entire episode. Mm-hmm. Know your geek.
Yes, well, you know your geek. You know your geek likes certain things. Where are you going?
Man.
Forums.
Actually. Now, are you asking where you're going to find out about them or find out or to get the gift specifically?
Where are you going to get gifts? Where are you going to get gift ideas? What are you, you know?
You know, if I find out that somebody's into watches or somebody's into fountain pens or somebody's into cooking or knitting or Star Trek or whatever, look up the word and then the word forums. Mm-hmm. On Google and find places where people with that interest are having conversations.
Okay.
And read where they go and what they mm-hmm. like and what they do, and just read the conversations that are going on and get ideas from there. And you'll see, because if they have a marketplace of where they like to go to shop to buy, let's say, fountain pens, they'll be able to tell you to not buy from this place or from this yep. manufacturer because they're disreputable, or these people have a really cool sale coming up, or this and that, and you can find better information.
Mm. I will say that if you are struggling and you don't know if the person has a wish list, you can actually search Amazon really well for somebody's wish list and find it. I've done that a couple of times. I love going to Think Geek. Gives me some ideas, and then I often will find it cheaper elsewhere. But I believe there's somewhere that you can buy those Think Geek
things. Where could I buy stuff like that, Jason?
What's really funny is we own Think Geek.
I know. That's kind of where I was going.
That's the joke.
But, you know, my thing is, you honestly don't have to go any further to me to find out to find out about the gift. You don't have to go any further than the person. Because I know it sounds creepy, but watch them. They will tip you off to the thing they enjoy.
Through binoculars.
And then honestly, like Amazon, ThinkGeek, GameStop, I mean.
Hot Topic.
Hot Topic, FYE, if they still exist.
I believe that's, what is that, Sunrise Records or something up here?
Yeah, and Spencer's and the It Store and
eBay.
Do you guys still have Suncoast in Canada?
Is it Suncoast?
No, we have Sunrise Records.
Yeah, Sunrise is a different franchise.
Saturday Matinee. Is there Saturday Matinee?
No.
Saturday Matinee.
FMV? HMV.
HMV, yeah.
Because here in the States, we had Suncoast, which Suncoast is the same company as FYE and Saturday Matinee. FYE is the only one that still exists here. But no, like, you can find out what they like, and there are stores geared to it. I mean, I know it even sounds really esoteric and kind of like off-key, but like, if someone likes makeup, getting them a gift card to Ulta isn't a bad idea.
Or Sephora, or any yeah. of the stores that you know that they like to shop at.
Yeah, it's not a bad idea. And I know people, one of the people things people get caught up on, and I think this is actually closer to a bad gift than an actual good gift, is when they get caught up on, well, I don't want to give a gift card because it's impersonal. No, it's not. If you gear the gift card
personal, if it's personal enough where you know, okay, you want makeup, But I'm not going to, that's something you can't choose for somebody. You can't walk in and go, oh, yeah, yeah, I'm going to get this Urban Decay palette for her. No clue if she likes it or he likes it or not. You know,
but if, you know, you get me an Amazon gift card, it's one thing.
Yeah.
But if you give me an Amazon gift card with a thing that, hey, I know you're buying parts for your new car, maybe you can find something that you're looking for with this. Ah, now you've just made that very impersonal gift card very personal.
Oh, I know that you're trying to build a computer. Here's a Newegg thing.
Right. Here's a maybe you can get that. Maybe this goes towards helping to buy that new video card that you like. Or I hope you get something cool for that new computer. You know,
you love cameras. Here's a B&H certificate, although they're not great, but whatever. they are the biggest.
You know, and it's one of the things I know this is, I know every salesman on the planet is going to tell me I'm terrible, but I tell people when they come into my store, I say, when you give someone a gift card to GameStop, if you want to get them a gift card they can use, and I don't mean they can't, they can use a $25 gift card. They can use a $30 gift card, but they can use a gift card that is $63.17. Because that is the price of a brand new game, which means anything in that store brand new, even if it came out today, as we are speaking, is $63.
That, you know what? You have a point there. Okay, so when you're getting a gift card, make sure that it's something that can buy a whole gift. So like a $5 gift card to Sephora isn't going to get you much, but a $20 would, you can get a palette.
Know where you're buying the gift card from, right?
Like, yeah.
If it's GameStop, the minimum price for a brand new game is $63.17 after tax. So that covers what you would pay if you bought them the game outright as a gift. So if you're trying to get them something that can buy them a game as a gift, give them the gift card that is a game.
Yeah. And, yeah. And one other thing, don't give them something that will lock them into a subscription fee. I mean, I know we said give them Netflix, but if you give them a couple of months, then they can enjoy it. They don't have to keep it. And their credit card was never put in, so they're not stuck using it. But if you give them something that requires more than what you're giving, yeah, that's not very helpful.
Congratulations for Merry Christmas. I got you contractual obligations and debt. I hope you enjoy it.
So Jason, what do you want for Christmas? Sky's high, top of the limit. What do you want for Christmas?
I've actually been thinking about this at work when I've been doing the monotonous things I don't have to focus on. I can just, you know, my hands are going and I'm thinking. Honestly, and it's been something I've been looking for, because I do have a Canon Rebel T3 camera. I've only got two lenses for it. The standard lens that came with it and the lens, and because this was a special bundle I got when I bought the camera, it was another lens. I don't actually have any other specialized lenses. And to be honest, I don't care what this lens is for. If it's for super close up, if it's for super far away, I don't care. A new lens for my camera, because one of the things
if anybody wants to know what lens Jason needs, send me a message. I know exactly what lens he needs.
I talked about Nettie being a stalker earlier, but this proves it.
You need a 50mm 1.4 portrait lens. That's what you need.
You know, but like, yeah, but like, that's, you know, because I had it earlier this year. I had a taste of photographing cosplayers, and not because of my camera, not because of the lens I had, but just because I didn't have the lenses I felt I needed for the shots. Plus, I wasn't comfortable in my skin as that But when you have the equipment, sometimes you can fake the funk. It's kind of like the prince and the pauper, right? You put the pauper in the proper attire, he can be a prince, you know? And you know, that's kind of what I'm thinking about.
So you need new glass. You want new glass. So, Tech, what do you want for Christmas? Sky's the limits.
I just want a hula hoop. Sorry, no, I was thinking about that Chipmunk song before coming on air.
What do I want for Christmas? I was thinking to myself, and I'm waiting for them to go on sale. I'd love a snowblower. because the past 3 years, every winter, I've thrown out my shoulder and my neck, and I've needed like 10 weeks of physiotherapy to get back into shape. And if I could just avoid that and have a machine do the work for me, that'd be great. If not a snowblower, to everybody listening, if you have family in the South or are from the South and or have a recipe book and or an ingredient that I can't find up here, like proper cornmeal, white cornmeal.
Oh, I found it.
Hot sauces, barbecue sauce recipes, etc. You want to send me any of that stuff for Christmas? I will love you all forever.
Here you go, Tech. I'll give you this right now. I'll tell you exactly what I will give you. Mm. Next year, when we talked about you guys coming to visit me for Balticon, guys do come. I will take you guys to my aunt, who has the family cookbook.
Oh,
and I will peruse it at your leisure.
I don't know. Will she let you?
Yeah, she will. I've asked her. Okay. She's got it, dude. It's actually a cookbook.
It's not under lock and key or anything like that.
I've got this image of me being watched like a hawk as I'm perusing the cookbook, and as my phone comes out to take a photo of a page, as I find the recipe for the hush puppies or something, I just get whacked across the back of the head with a wooden spoon.
No, it's
and old Nancy's like, here's the white gloves when you look through that book.
What's really funny is it was a cookbook that they bought. And throughout the years of them cooking together and through the 35 years of them running the restaurant, they just simply added pages to it. Dot bought it first back when she was much younger, and they just added to it. And this thing is feeble and weak, and like I think it's held together by hopes and dreams. But so, it's got all the recipes and things that they've found over the years that they found out that work. And I will say this: the things that make a lot of these recipes work are not in it because they were done through experimentation.
Right.
So yeah, you may get the recipe, but you still have to cook it and try and do. So I think you would love that.
You got to test kitchen it. So I would like a hippopotamus for Christmas.
well, I thought you were going to ask for your two front teeth.
Animal.
I like that recipes thing. That's actually a really cool idea. I like that a lot. I too would like a snowblower, just so I don't have a broken husband. He's already broken.
Hi, I'm broken.
Yeah, pretty much.
I get a pinched nerve somewhere between C5, 6, and 7. Occasionally, I get one or both of my arms that goes numb. When I crack my neck, it sounds like a cement mixer full of old sneakers.
And now you sound like everybody's uncle who won't shut up about his ailments.
Right. I'm told by my doctor that all of this is fine and normal because his is worse. So,
oh, God. You sound like my coworkers at work, because I'm like, you know, if I had my guys from the Army, we could whip this store into shape. And they're like, oh, another Army from when I was in the Army story? God.
Back in my day when I was in the Army. So,
the problem is my doctor's a paratrooper. So.
Yeah. What is one thing you don't want for Christmas?
That Tim Hortons gift card that for some reason everybody gets around here because I don't drink coffee.
Yeah, that's a good one.
do not give me a Tim Hortons gift card. I don't need it.
You know what? I'm going to put this out there, and it's going to probably sound really douchey. I don't want anything from my kitchen because I've had people buy me utensils and things from my kitchen, and I've had to grit my teeth and bear it. And I'm like, it won't last a day. I'd melt that thing.
Thanks
right
so
now.
Much. Yay. It's that thing as seen on TV.
Yeah, because here's the deal. There's only been two as seen on TV things that I feel have held their weight. The George Foreman grill. It is it's a masterpiece. I don't know why it is so great, but it is. And the other thing,
the George Foreman's pretty awesome.
It is so freaking perb. And the other thing was the Keurig.
Oh, the Keurig.
The one cup coffee.
Ugh.
Yeah, that thing started out, you know, just like the George Foreman, like that as seen on TV. but my Lord, is it amazing? Like, it is
get a
great
French press.
Yeah. Watching the just outside the door to my office is the coffee stand for the cubicle hell that we work in. So the guys have been collecting coffee machines, and you know, the coffee's been sort of over the last couple of years, the coffee's been getting progressively better and better. I guess I don't know. I don't drink it, but they got a Keurig for the office, and then they got those instead of the disposable cups, you can get like a plastic refillable cup.
Yeah, which is much better for the environment.
Right, and so they use that for a while, and then you just can't make enough coffee fast enough for these people, so they then just got a standard like drip coffee maker to do a whole pot at once, but everybody agreed that that was bad, and now for the last little while, everybody's just kind of hovering around it like a bunch of meerkats going, "Are you going to make coffee? Are you going to make coffee?" It's like, well, I was looking for a cup. Why? Could you make coffee? And then they get the boiling water, and they have a French press. And now they have like this gigantic industrial, like 55-gallon drum French press that makes coffee for the
whole
office.
Oh, so they all hover around because they don't want to make a whole pot just for themselves.
Just for themselves. But yeah. If somebody is going to the trouble, well, then could you make it in the French press? And then everybody has a fresh cup of, you know, proper coffee.
Which takes only slightly longer than a Keurig.
We got a little fridge next to it. I assume by this time next year, my text prediction, it's that we're going to have a bunch of milk on ice, and it's going to be like Vietnamese milk, that iced milk coffee.
Yeah.
By the way, for those listening, a mini fridge is never a bad idea. Just putting it out there. A mini fridge is never a bad gift. You might think it's a bad gift or too expensive of a gift, but it is an amazing gift because you can do 1,000 things with the mini fridge, and it goes almost anywhere.
Okay, I don't share your praises of a mini fridge. Once you have a full fridge,
you put it in a mini fridge.
I put it in the shed.
Tech, how much beer could you put in a mini fridge?
You can put, yeah, you know what, creatively packing, if you sing the Tetris song to yourself, you could put a whole case in there. Probably more if it's cans. You could probably put a whole, like, a case and a half or two cases into a mini fridge. And then yeah, put that in the shed. Please put that in the shed next to the power tools, because power tools and alcohol, that works well together. There's never been anything bad that's happened out of that combo.
Sarcasm. Yeah.
By the way, also, you thinking about a gift for my co-host, Jen? She actually likes chainsaws. Just saying. She's from Alaska. Her name, Tundra Baby.
Just pick up a random chainsaw.
You cannot go bad. You cannot go wrong with the gift of power tools. And
this is true.
Chainsaws, it's one of those things. Chainsaws, explosives, fire, and money. Yeah. Any problem on earth can be solved with the application of chainsaws, fire, or money.
So there's an old saying.
If it didn't solve the problem, you didn't use enough.
There's an old saying that says, never give a woman a gift that has an extension cord. And the idea is, and it comes from the days when people would give women
appliances,
a vacuum cleaner, a mixer, you know, something that they then use as work, as labor. But that saying is dead wrong, because
absolutely,
a lot of really good things have power cords on them these days.
If it's personal,
here's the deal. Yeah. Like, I'm not going to stomach a good vacuum cleaner. Holy cow, that is an amazing gift.
You better know that person. You better know that they're okay with that, because
Very true.
There's a lot of implications there. Don't Very give true. Somebody something so that they can do labor for you.
Very true. I also made the joke one time to Jen that I was going to just buy her a chainsaw for a gift, because we were at the farm. We had some clear cutting to do, and I made the joke. She was very sad that year when I did not get her a chainsaw.
You said you'd give me a chainsaw. Oh, here's another great gift, by the way, especially for like family. I wouldn't give this to somebody at work, but a great gift is pajamas. Pajamas are always a fantastic gift. Flannel, all fleece, or silky.
All the listeners out there, if you can find flannel, super warm and cozy, Totoro footy pajamas, all for nutty.
Yes, Yes.
I thought you were going to say in a size 3X for the husky gentleman, because Jason wants him a set of Totoro Feedy Jams.
I think we could all use some Totoro Feedy Jams. Just saying.
By the way, we could also all use that like Totoro beanbag thing that was on that website. we can all use it. By the way, also, I know I'm not doing a promo for GameStop, but we totally have Snorlax beanbag chairs. Just
aw, that's so cute. I love it. We have a little Totoro vinyl decals, by the way, over our bed now. It's really cute.
Over your bed?
They're watching me sleep.
They're helping us grow. Anyway, so that was geek gift giving, sorta. I don't know. We rambled. I hope that you enjoyed it.
It's what I do. I distract and derail. I mean,
yay!
The chicken I had was probably 12 hours ago, but I still had chicken.
Okay, and you didn't spoil anything, so it's all good. So thank you for joining us. Please enjoy this time with your loved ones, with your fellow geeks. Take care of them and love them and nurture them. Bye. Oh, and we have been Jason from the Talk Nerdy to Me podcast. Tell us where they can find you.
Here we go. I haven't done this in a while, but you can always find us on our website at TalkNerdyToMePodcast.com. You can find us on Facebook at Facebook.com/NerdyToMe. And, of course, you can find us on Twitter at NerdyToMePodcast, which I'm actually paying attention to because for some reason I switched back to the original Twitter app and not some aggregate and third-party thing.
He was going to say a swear word, and then he didn't. Mm. And Tech.
Hi, I'm Tech.
Thank you for joining us.
Thank you. You can find me at nimlas.org, NIMLAS.org. All of my stuff is there. You can find me on Twitter at Flying Ukemi. And soon to be coming to your ears, I promise, is the my adventures in learning martial arts the hard way at upsidedownandflying.ca. And podcasting soon as I figure out the rest of my audio issues. And my plan was to get a bunch of episodes in the can during Christmas break. I'm holding myself to that.
Oh, by the way, I realized my To the Moon thing is. I want a lifetime STO subscription. That's what I want.
STO?
Yeah.
Star Trek Online.
Oh.
We're playing that again. It's awesome.
By the way, Tech, I say throw that whole like get stuff in the can idea out there. And some microphones, we're going at it. We're going to go do Upside Down and Flying.
We're throwing it down.
All right. And I want to thank all of the donators, anyone who donates to this podcast, because you guys have been making us do more episodes, which is fantastic.
Are you sure you want to thank those people? Yes. Are you sure you want to talk about making extra episodes for people?
Yes.
Are you positive?
Yes. And there will be another episode about the ways that they can donate. So Patreon has changed their donation practices. And I'll talk to anyone who's already donating in that special feed shortly. But you can always use Patreon to donate, or you can go and use PayPal, or you can mail it to me or hand it to Tech when you're at work for some reason, as one of our donators does.
Because he is a Balticon or at a convention, you find us.
Yeah, like, yeah.
We would love to meet those people.
Actually, yeah, I love meeting anybody that.
And if you want to meet us in person and give us the gift of cash, that's fantastic. Yeah. We'll love you forever.
But the whole point is, I want to thank specifically Jason. Thank you, Jason.
Thanks, Daddy.
Aaron Jackson, who has been our QA guy for a couple of years now, and he's awesome. He always catches the swears that I miss. Thank you to Beth. Thank you to Rich the TT. Thank you, Dagny. Thank you, Mike. Thank you, Ken Kennedy. Thank you, Lynette of the Bicast. Thank you, Aurora Lee. Thank you, Susan. Thank you, Melissa A. Bartell, the Bathtub Mermaid. Thank you, Susanna. Thank you, Kinsey. Thank you, Ian. What?
My favorite.
Your favorite is Kinsey?
Yeah, just because she's a bathtub mermaid.
Oh, you mean Melissa? Yes. Thank you, Ian of the Web of Queer and the Down Below podcast. Thank you, Harold. Thank you, Jan. Thank you, Patrick Scafito. Thank you, Shane Poole of the Red Dwarf Introcast, which is coming back, and many other podcasts. And thank you, almost always, Nick. Is that what we're saying now?
And so, and usually Nick.
And usually Nick,
and
yes.
And usually Nick.
And usually Nick. Thank you all for helping us out and bringing this all together. And I am sorry that we rambled on so long, but I hope you enjoyed it.
I'm not. Because I'm here for distractions and derailment.
He's not. Bye.
Bye.
If you like audiobooks and science fiction, you should be listening to Glow in the Dark Radio for free science fiction audio adventure every week, written and read by author and radio host Mike Luoma. Me. As an up-and-coming independent writer, I share my work for free each week, chapter by chapter, to get you into my science fiction, I hope. Check out all my books at glowinthedarkradio.com and listen to Glow in the Dark Radio free each week on iTunes, TuneIn, or just head to glowinthedarkradio.com.
Nutty Bites is produced by Nimlas Studios under a Creative Commons Attribution No Commercial Non-Derivatives 3.0 International License. That means you can't change it without my permission. You can share it and send it to your friends. Just link back to me, my site, and everything. We live at nimlas.org, which has links to everything social media, including facebook.com/group/nuttybites and patreon.com/nukejoss, or call 347-Nutty42.